Okay. I have to end a little bit earlier today. I say that on page 74, footnote 130. We were learning about how, as a result of Golas, not having our place and not being responsible for our own malchus, our own army, economy, being so surrounded by enemies and in such a hostile and miserable world, that it was only natural, or if Cook explains, it was only natural for the Jewish people to retreat into another world, to disappear into another world. This world was so bad, and there was very little hope in this world, very little tachlis for success in this world. So it was natural, Rav Kook says, that we became an umma parachas ba'avir. That's the last line on page 74. We became an umma parachas ba'avir. Since the earth didn't work for us, we tried it out in Shemayim. We ascended to a different dimension of existence. The earth was a very, very bitter place for us. And we produced astonishingly great people. Unbelievable tzaddikim and tzadkonius, people who are living in Torah and in Tehillim, and even simple laborers were people that were dvukim b'Hashem in ways that we can't even understand, their pashtas and their amunah and so on. God was more of a reality to them than the pirates. You understand? A pirates, you know what a pirates means? Pirates is a pirates. I don't know what the word is. How do you say it?
A landowner?
A landowner, but you know, it comes with a certain sinus. Israel wasn't like a friendly. Right. Right. So it was either the Baruch Shalom or it was the pirates. So even simple people, Jews that I grew up with, that I saw, that they preferred, you know, the choice was either the Baruch Shalom or the pirates. And the hardest thing was when you felt the Baruch Shalom was treating like the pirates. Of course, that was the most bitter thing of all. But they lived in that world. They lived in that world. V'chalamnu rak al devar malchus shamayim. That's where we were up to. And we were dreaming of malchus shamayim. Al devar atoiv elokei hamuchlat. So we lived for thousands of years with this dream of tov elokei hamuchlat, that the only tov is really good. The parish is not good. Our best friends, those who claim to be our best friends, they weren't our friends. This world was not our friend. So the only friend that we had was, that we believed in, was Malchus Shemayim, the Rebbein Shalom, Al Dvar HaTayv HaLuki HaMuchlat. And that created very, very beautiful characters, very colorful, interesting, beautiful characters, and the Shtetlach, with all of the misery of the Shtetlach and these places where Jews lived, but the Ruchnius was so deep, it was so rich. But it was also very fragile, without going into that right now. But it was very beautiful, it was very deep. Without romanticizing it, because it was very hard. It was a very harsh and difficult life. But they had the Ruchnius. I've often mentioned here, because everybody, you know, after Shabbos, everybody's rushing. My father said that they moved so slowly after Shabbos. Nobody was like leaving shul. Why? What was there to look forward to? He said that it was so good to be in shul. And they used to sit there, and they used to, Melachim Halkim, Tzadik, different things. It was because the world just wasn't working. So the alternative was infinitely more attractive. And those were the dreams that we had, Al Devar Malchus Shemayim, Al Devar HaTayv Elokei HaMuchlat. This is as beautiful as this sounds. This is not the Tachlis. We were not created to be hovering in midair. It means that the Baruch Shalom wants that we should be grounded in this world and to be Avdei Hashem in this world, using this world, and to reveal Malchus Shemayim in our lives, not to disappear from the world. We're talking a lot about that with Sefer Yehoshua. That's the whole ending of the transition from Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, where we were a nation that was parachas ba'avir. We were a nation that was dangling in midair. When we lived in the Midbar, we were with the Mun and the Bear Miriam and the clouds, and we lived in clouds. We were living, it looked like a very idealistic, wonderful, beautiful life, but it wasn't the tachlis. And then it was very hard for us to come with Yehoshua, right? That's what we've been spending like the last 2 years learning the first pasuk. Moshe Avdi Meis, those words, Moshe Avdi Meis. Like, there couldn't be anything worse than that. Because then we'd like crashed in the world. We were in the world. And now what? Then we're going to Eretz Yisrael. So no more clouds, no more mud, no more this. Like, we felt like abandoned and lost and had to make our way about the world when we were living in a state of being parachas ba'avir. But Hashem wanted us to come to Eretz Yisrael and to build a malchus of Kedusha in our lives, in this world. He wanted us to be farmers, and he wanted us to be shepherds and to build the land and so on. That's what he wanted, and that's what he wants. There are still many, many Jews that create the image of Yiddishkeit as ki'ilu, the whole tachlis of Yiddishkeit is not being in the world. It's not true. There are certain tzaddikim that's their inyan, but that's not for Am Yisrael. That's not the Hanhag of Hashem that we should be in such a way. That's not the tachlis. So in footnote 130, it's a little, it's hard to read, but if you could take a look at it, we'll try. Am Yisrael zo matzav zmani. This is a temporary situation. It was for a long time, that state of mid-air, of parachas ba'avir, not being in the world. But it says, it's matzav zmani, shenichpa aleinu bal kocheinu. It was forced upon us. It's not that we chose to live like that. We didn't prefer to live like that. We really had no choice. The world was so bitter, it was so hostile to us, we had no choice. L'umazais, on the other hand, in contrast to this, benatzrus, in Christianity, zehu ha'ideal. That's the ideal. Because the highest person in Christianity is somebody who doesn't get married. The ovi-ovis of their holiness is the galach that's sitting in the Vatican, and that is the model of ultimate absolute greatness. An old bacher. He's an old bacher. That's what he is. An alter bacher. That's their picture of greatness, is an old bacher. An old bacher with a kapel. And there's just a ganze talk dort in the Vatican. That's the ultimate picture of greatness, an alter bacher. And our picture of greatness is the Rebbe and the Rabbitson, the tzaddik and his wife. It's institutionalized an imaginary shamayim that they tried to create, and that's why, as Rav Kook explained in many places, there was such an unbelievable dichotomy between the ideal and reality. There's such an unbelievable dichotomy between those two worlds in Christianity. Like the galach that's so holy, he can't marry, he can't bear to be with a woman, to the prostate guy in the bar that can only be happy if he's with every woman. You understand? It's that crazy dichotomy. That's doomed to failure because that's not what this world is. So Rav Kook wrote about this a lot. Kol inyon shel hanatzus, the whole inyon of natzus of Christianity, Rav Kook writes about Christianity a lot in the Iris. So hefkerus ha'olam ha'chomri b'chol arachav, it's to be mafkir, that the ideal is seen as that, is to reject the entire world. B'chol arachav, and everything about the world. Azuvas ha'guf, that the highest ideal is that to be separated from the body. Yisoda arloso v'tumoso, because the body is filthy and tamei. Va'azuba sechayim v'achevra, and the highest person was a monk that went to live on some island somewhere, or a nun in a convent, to be separated from the world. Hamamlocha v'hamishtar, the constant tension between the church and the monarch, and the monarchy, a complete a complete divestment of malchus, of anything, to be just totally separated from reality. To abandon the world and all the natural kaiches and all what's natural in this world, the highest ideal was complete abandonment of the world. Now, since that's something which is completely against human nature, it didn't have many buyers, although there are hundreds of millions of Christians, but as far as the galachim are concerned, and who actually live that way, obviously this is something that was not going to be easy to sell. And I mean, the celibacy, that's why it couldn't continue on. In many circles, they had to change even the rules of the game. But the Hamainam, just the rank and file Nazri Christian, not only could he not live that way, but the alternative was seen as the complete opposite. Hanatzos hefkira asidrei achevra v'hamedina ba'omra shulmu l'keisar as asher l'keisar v'le l'okim as asher l'okim, which is give Caesar what's due to Caesar and give God what's due to God. So there became this, that's the theme, the motto of Christianity. What's due unto Caesar, well, pay your taxes to Caesar and pay your taxes to God. But the deeper meaning of that is that life is split in two. Life is split in two. There's the godly part of your life, and then there's the Caesar part of your life. They're not integrated. There's no achila b'kedusha. Rav Kook explains that's why the whole inyan of what kind of a carbon kind of guy bring in the stand a shlomim a toida. They can't be masig such a thing that something is on the mizbeach, and the bailim are oichlam. They can't be masig such a thing that a person eats in a way of Kedusha. Because there are two completely distinct worlds. There's the Galach, there's the sister, there's the nun, there's the monk, there's the pope, there's the Vatican, there's the church, and then there's the physical. That was we're not Metzliach to be in that category. We didn't reach the higher echelons of closeness to God, of Christianity, like the church, and so on. So the other side of that is to pay Caesar what's due unto Caesar. Now, due unto Caesar doesn't just mean to pay taxes. It means that there's God's chevra and there's Caesar's chevra. God's chevra are cloistered in the church, and Caesar's chevra is everybody else. It's everybody else. If you're not cloistered in the church, you're not a man of God, or you're not a woman of God. So then the opposite. It's either Shemaim or Aretz. That's what it means, Caesar or God. It's either Shemaim or Aretz. Caesar is the ultimate embodiment of all that is mundane, all that's physical, and God. So the two opposing worlds that are constantly at war with each other, and you have to make a choice. It's either you're a person that is godly, that is of heaven, or give unto Caesar what's due unto Caesar, or you're somebody that's just completely bound to this world. All these are all expressions from their writings. Al tehavu es ha'olam, don't love the world. Omeris Anatsos, Christianity says, Gam lovas hadvar meshepa olam, im ish yehavis olam, ein bo havis av. If you're in love with the world, it means that ein bo havis av, you don't love the Father. These are unholy quotations that Rav Avinir is bringing to make this point. Ki kol esher bo olam taivis besarim taivis ha'inayim begaivis ha'nechosim lomen ha'avu. Because all of the desires of this world are not from the Father. They're not from the Father. So who created them if it's not the Father? But they say it's not from the Father, it's from the world. It's not from the Father, it's from the world. So this was the split, and that's why it would only be natural that people would commit any sin that's imaginable or unimaginable, and the teretz is that the devil made me do it. And there are some Jews who think that that's what the Yetzer Hara is, the way that they interpret it in Christianity. That the devil, so there's this pagan standoff between the devil and God. And you're either one of God's chassidim or you're one of the devil's chassidim. So you're either one of God's chassidim or one of the devil's chassidim. The galachal, the monk, the priest, the pope, he's one of God's chassidim. And me, I belong to Caesar, I belong to the devil. It's a pachat, mamish. A pachat, the poison of Christianity, what it did to the world. The misery, the depression, the despair that it brought to the world, the killing, the pillaging, the raping that it brought to the world. It's unbelievable. Hitler, Yimach Shmo, was only Matzliach because he came off a couple of thousand years of this stuff. You understand? He had very choshev rebbeim, even though he himself was like the Antichrist. Those were his rebbeim. He had years and years and years of European history to work off of, both mitzad the anti-Semitism and bechlal, his whole way of looking at the world. So even though he was himself not a religious man at all, but he was a real pride to Christianity in that respect. Hanatzus his alma min ha'olam hazeh, or bizul ha'mamon. So therefore, the church spoke so disparagingly about the world and about money. And tachpais liyas tamim, if you desire to be pure, lech mecharis kinyanecha, retain laniyim, then sell everything you have and give it to the poor. There's not a din of chaimish, you know, of a certain amount to give tzedakah, a tenth, a fifth. If you really want to be pure, then you have to give up everything. Give everything to the poor. Ashreichem ha'aniyim. And that's why Ashreichem ha'aniyim, that have fortune are the poor people. Kilachem malchus elokim. Since they have nothing of this world, so the poor people are presented as being in the kingdom of God. Or lechem ashirim, and woe to the wealthy. Or lechem hasveim, and to those who are satiated and full. Although the Vatican seems to be a pretty expensive place, no? Pretty expensive place. Yeah, that's how they were concerned about making sure there'd be more poor people in Europe. So they took away everything they had in order to make for themselves these palaces. V'kasher noida ki livcha echad ki lebocha echad hayu nechasem rabim amir Yeshu atamidav. This is the way they write over the story of Yeshu, of Isa Yeshu, that of their God, that when it became known that there was a certain bocha that had nechasem rabim, that had a lot of stuff, that was well to do, amir Yeshu atamidav. Then Yeshu said to his students, nakel ki avar gomel biad chor hamachat mehasher yovo osher amalchus shemaim. It's easier to take a camel, this is a pasuk for them. It's easier to pull a camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to be able to be in the kingdom of God. Those rich people are excluded from the kingdom of God. If you're in this world, if you're part of this world, if you have a connection to this world, you're excluded from the kingdom of God. So that was a hard thing for people I guess I'm not in the kingdom of God. So then from there you have to constantly go to pay the people who are in the kingdom of God to confess and to be forgiven. It was some good business, no? It's unbelievable business. It's unbelievable business. That you have to pay indulgences to the priest. You go to confess your sins. You give him the money, and you give whatever else you have, if you can, to the church. And then he says, mochalach, mochalach, mochalach. And he goes and he builds himself a swimming pool in his backyard. And Nebuchadnezzar, this zhlob goes on with his life being nothing. This is all very, very big business. That split between the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God is the cause. Is the not indirect, but the direct cause of what's of now, that all these archdioceses all over are having to come up with millions and hundreds of millions of dollars to pay off either hush money or to pay people to keep quiet or to pay lawyers for what their galochim who lived in the kingdom of God did to little boys and girls, right, over the years. Hanatsuas Hirosalem Amineha, Christianity taught its believers Lafkiris Ilamaza, to renounce this world. Lazarus Aguf, to leave the body, to have nothing to do with the body. Lolis Chatein, ideally not to get married. Velolo Havi Yeladim Lal, not to bring children to the world. Because all this is tumma. All this is tumma. So that act of intimacy itself is the highest tumma in Christianity. By us, lahavdil elef alfei infinite havdalos, that is yichud kuchibichu shchinta, a husband and a wife. And by them, it's the highest tumma, a husband and a wife. So how are you supposed to look at your kid, knowing that your parents spend their time in the biggest tumma? How do you look at children? The child is the product of my parents being the biggest tmeim in the world. That's why they had to make yashka that the parents were never together. You understand? Where did they come up with such a thing that yashka doesn't have regular, you know, mother and a father, but they come with the Holy Ghost mice? Why do they have to have such a thing? How come it couldn't be that his mother Miriam was together with Yosel? Why can't there be such a thing? Why couldn't it be that they were? Why did it have to be that she was a basula, that she was a virgin? And they made a whole religion out of the basula, out of the virgin. They made a whole religion out of it. Why does it have to be that your mother's a virgin? Instead. So that was only by Yashka that the mother was a virgin, but for every other yokel, the mother is not a virgin, right? V'haraya, I exist. So since I exist, that means that my parents did something really disgusting together. So to begin with, the kid is marked with tumah. You understand? He's marked with tumah. His whole cook of the world, his whole way of looking at the world and himself is a shtick tumah. It's tumah. It's such an unbelievably depressing and dark world. And the only ones who are not stained by that tumah are the sisters, the nuns, the priests. They're the ones that are not stained by that impurity. And therefore we have to constantly dish out, we have to pay, we have to give up everything in this world to pay for our parents' sins. For our parents' sins and our sins. Which the Torah says, Lahavdil, is not sinful, it's a yichud elyon, ma'am, it's the highest yichud. It's the highest yichud, a husband and wife is the highest yichud. But it's not just the sheker of it, it's the evil of that way of thinking, the evil of that world. And it had an influence over us. It had an influence over us. You could find out Jews that are very fine Jews, that even some of them don't know how to learn. And they look at a person that goes to work as Kielu, he's like a second-class Jew. He's a low Jew. He's not like him. Kielu, he's not a Jew. If you'd be a real Jew, you wouldn't have such a shaychus to this world. You'd renounce this world. And he could find chazals that sound like this or like that. You know, you could always find. You could find, you know, you can Google that stuff. And you could find this Maimah Chazak, you could find this, says a sentence from a Sefer. There's a sentence in the Chavis of Avos that they all use, all these people use, I'm not going to say it, but they always use this. And to give that impression that Kilo, anything that you gain in this world, it means that you're losing in the Olam HaNeshama. You're losing. It's this similar Dibur. There are the shyness that you could isolate, but only if you isolate them, you take them out of context. This was a very unfortunate result of our being in Golis, that we began to separate between heaven and earth. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And that's what was going on before the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came. There were big, big, big tzaddikim, and then there was the Amaratzim. There were big Rosh Hashivas, big Talmidim, big Rabbanim, who looked down terribly, many of them, on the simple people. And the simple people were like michutz, and the godly people, it was crazy. This was not the union of Maimon HaSinai, where there was a meeting between heaven and earth, not a separation between heaven and earth. The whole union of Kabbalah Sotar is that heaven and earth met, not that there's a separation. A Jew doesn't have to walk around with torn pants. He shouldn't be walking around dirty with torn pants, and that his kids don't have what to eat. That's not. I mean, unfortunately, there are people that they're trying, they're poor, life has been hard for them, that they can't manage, that's something else. But the picture, Kielu, that a person who is put together and successful in this world has somehow failed as a Jew is a Christian picture. It's not a Jewish picture. It could get very confusing because there are a lot of people that walk around that could make you feel that way. It's a Christian picture of the world. Give unto Caesar and give unto God. So there are Jews, God forbid, that belong to Caesar, and there are Jews that belong to God. Only the people that are able to learn all day, they belong to God. The people that are working, they belong to Caesar. Chas v'chalil. Doesn't mean to say that we don't have Kahanim. Doesn't mean to say we don't have a Kohen Gadol sitting beside others. Shluch le'achmane, shluch le'idon. Our messenger, Hashem's messenger, to represent and to lead the Jewish people, we also have such a thing. But not as a means of being separated from the world, but as a means of bringing the world, the two worlds together, heaven and earth. All the Avodah the Beis HaMikdash, that's all it's about. In order for us to be able to accomplish this, we need a class of Levim, there's no question. We need people who are completely dedicated to Limud HaTorah. And there are great Jews who spend their entire lives sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, because without that we wouldn't be able to manage, we wouldn't be able to accomplish. But that doesn't mean, God forbid, that the Jews who are not able to do that, that they're not chas v'chalila, that they're not fulfilling Hashem's will. And even those people themselves to get married. Other rabbi, a Kohen Gadol that's not married he's possible. He can't be an Av either. There's no such thing. So this is what I've spoken about many times. So now when you have certain Talmidei Chacham that are growing up completely, completely separated from this world, as beautiful as that is and as great as they are individually, but it's very, very hard for them to understand what the Hamayinam are going through. And I speak about this all the time, but the last generation tzaddikim, they were people that saw life and lived through wars and dealt with people, and they understood what people are going through because they were living in both worlds, not just in one world. So it's one thing if you have a Talmid Chacham or a tzaddik who disappears from the world and he sits someplace and closes himself and sets himself apart from the world. That's one thing, but when that same person now is giving advice to people who are part of the world, it's very scary. Like, what do you know about the world that you're advising? Like, you're giving advice to a young couple that's going through a difficulty, and it's like you're giving advice to somebody in business. That's scary. Why are you a Baal Eitzah? You decided to pull out from the world. What made you into Baal Eitzah? Unless you're Al Ruach HaKodesh, you're Navi, you're like Baba Sali, that's something else. Tzaddikim like that. But stop, you're trying to use your own understanding of the world. Why are you a Baal Eitzah? What shaykhis do you have to the world? Kol HaKavod, that you learn all day, that's Kol HaKavod. But how does that help you understand what the person on the street is going through? If you never went through that, you never felt that. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem told him, Lech Reit, Ki Sheikhes Amcha, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go down. Your people have sinned. And the Gemara says in Brachas, Lech Reid Migdulascha, to go down from your high place in the clouds, in heaven, and go down to earth, because you have to lead people, so you have to go down to earth. And the Maitzi Chaveiro, Elam Ken Chayv Bois Adover, right? You can't be Maitzi somebody, you can't exempt somebody from Kiddush unless you Chayv to make Kiddush, right? But the Baal Shem Tov said, under the Maitzi, as Chaveiro, you can't pull another Jew out of what he's in, if he's in some terrible thing, in some terrible, terrible situation in this world. You can't pull him out unless you're chai by sadav, unless you know what it feels like to be in that situation. How can you pull somebody else out if you don't know what that is? But unfortunately, what Rav Kook is saying here is that bal korchenu, that because of how life was, this did happen. It began to separate. There began to be this disengagement between heaven and earth, which is very unhealthy. It produced, again, in a very exalted elite class of great people. But it left, like, the world. It left regular Jews in the dark.
Okay, question.
Yeah?
Just to be clear, it's not like this is not just the mahalach of like Baal Shem Tov and
no, Judaism 001. Judaism 001.
Even according to like the Vilna Gaon, this would be the
right,
the truth. It's not just a Hasidish idea that b'chol derech de'ayu, like.
No, so Chassidus was mechazik this very much, because yeah, that's the whole lineage of Yichud. So Chassidus, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, came very, very, very strong. That's why the simple Jews came back to life. They came back to life. You mean I'm also an Eved Hashem? I'm also something that's important in God's eyes? I thought I was one of the Caesar's people. I'm also a chashuv person. So the Baal Shem Tov, this Indian. But it's Yiddishkeit 001. Judaism 001. But it was getting lost in the Baal Shem Tov culture. The Vilna Gaon would agree to it.
So where does the like perversion come from now?
You know, so what happened now is what happened over the years is a distortion of the Vilna Gaon's picture. I would ask anybody to find a makar in the teachings of the Vilna Gaon that said that every single male is not supposed to support his family, he's supposed to be learning all day. I challenge anybody to find one makar in the writings of the Vilna Gaon such a thing. There is no such thing. It doesn't exist. If someone finds it, I'll be moed ala amos. And don't show that don't. If you bring him a makar that talks about the Vilna Gaon's shita and what it means vegisa b'yom v'layla, what it means to be a talmid chacham, we understand. But where does it say that that's for every single man? That the women are supposed to work, and every single man is supposed to be, except some unbelievable yutzlach who could barely put an aleph for the base. Otherwise, every single, because you look around, some of the guys that are sitting for years in the yeshiva, like maybe you know. There's the ones that mamish are sitting and learning, they're accomplishing, but there are plenty of them that have problems with aleph base. Plenty. If you've been in that world, you know there are plenty that are not doing well. Where did it come from such a thing that this guy's wife should be working? Why should his wife go to work? Since when is that Yiddishkeit? Since when is that Yiddishkeit? So the world of the store, you talk to one of these guys, you say, maybe you should go to work. You know, your wife is dying. Kids are dying. Work? For Ben Teira? Work? Yeah, go to work. Again, I'm not talking about the Lamdim. You understand? I'm 100% the biggest fan of the Talmid Chacham, and people could take this and they'll just, you know, they could put out and like they do all the time, they'll take a piece out of it. But where did you come up with the Yiddishkeit? That's what I'm saying. This is not Chassidus. This is Yiddishkeit 001. Why is your wife working? What do you do? What do you do all day? You know, with your scarf wrapped around your neck over there. What are you doing all day? So the answer now that they come up with, when you ask somebody now in Eretz Yisrael about this, like, why are these guys that are not really into it, like, why are they learning and their wives working? So what's the answer now? What's the answer now? I mean, it's a good question. No, a person has to answer such a question. Like, why should this guy's wife work, and why are the kids walking around in rags? And you learn for like an hour or two, you go out for some coffee, you come back a little bit, you go on the... So what are you doing? What's the answer? The answer now is that the world out there is too dangerous for them. Since they were raised in such a cloistered world, listen to how not Jewish this is. Since they were raised in such a, so if you let them out of the convent or if you let her out of the monastery, but if you let this guy out of the convent, so then which one's for girls? I forgot. Convent, the monastery, whatever. If you let him out of the place, so then what's going to happen to him? So even though they're saying this, and there's truth to that, and the svar is also like, if you ask them, why shouldn't this guy go to the army? Like, why is this guy not going to the army? Like, why is this kid, why are these parents losing their kids left and right? And this, Mela, if a guy sits and learns all day, 100%. Kol HaKavod. Sit and learn. And you're protecting the Jewish people by sitting and learning? But come on. That's not what all the guys are doing. Right? So, why isn't your son serving in the army? So the terrorist is now what? What's the terrorist? The same terrorist. And there's truth to it, that if he goes to the army, his Yiddishkeit will be destroyed. If he goes to the army, his Yiddishkeit will be totally ruined. Because the first in the cave that he meets, he's in love. And that's what happened to the what happened to 20 years of Yiddishkeit and davening and learning it. No. I guess it wasn't so strong as it looked. And he's finished. And there's truth to that. So they tried to make an Achal Charedi Chevra, you know, that there should be a place for them in the army. But listen to all of these Diburma B'deavid. In other words, I'm masking that this guy's not accomplishing in the Beis Medrash. Masking. So then why isn't he contributing? Because he can't. Why can't he? Because he's used to being in Shemayim. And if you put him Ba'aretz, the Aretz is going to destroy him. The world is going to destroy him. This is Christian. It's not Jewish. And it's not Chassidus. I'm not saying Chassidus. Yiddishkeit 001. Again, you could challenge anybody to find the Judaism that was like this. Not 200 years ago, not 1,000 years ago. Find a Judaism like this 50, 60 years ago. Where was there such a Judaism? That the women were all going to work and that the men... Where do you have that? Every single man is supposed to stay in the Beis Medrash for years. Wherever in the history of the Jewish people was there ever such a thing? Never. Never, ever. And the only terrorists that come up with that now, at this point, after all, we understood there was Yiddishkeit was lost. We didn't know what it was going to be, so we had to get everybody to sit and learn about it. What's the question? It was an emergency situation, but the answer now is always the same answer. The answer now is, well, they're going to be destroyed in the world. They're not going to be able to be frum. If you let them out into the world, they won't be frum. That's pathetic. That's the most unbelievably... There's truth to it, but it's unbelievably pathetic. So now we created this system, and now what? So that's why they get very sensitive, the chevra. If anybody challenges that, if anybody says a word like this, is chayram mamish, what I'm saying. If anybody challenges this thing, it gets a very touchy point. Because if the guy's wife hears this kind of a talk, and he comes home and she knows that he got up at 9:30 and davened some shtiebel for 15 minutes, and he went off somewhere, and what his learning is like this and like that. So then she says, you know, I heard that maybe that's not what Judaism is really about. That could threaten the entire system. That's why when there was a guy that got up in the Knesset, he starts to talk about these things, they shut him down and they make him to the biggest Rasha in the world. Anybody starts to talk these Diburim, they make him into a Rasha that's Michutz L'machne. You are a Rasha Marusha. Why don't you discuss the point that the guy is making? He's a Rasha, he's against Torah, he's against Yiddishkeit. There are some people like that, very few. Most of the people are not against Yiddishkeit. Most people are not against Torah. There are some. Mostly they're not. But you have to talk very, very strong Diburim, that this person is against Yiddishkeit. He's against Torah. He's destroying our way of life. Our way of life is not what he's describing. Our way of life is not two blocks in Meir Sharm, where many of the people go to work. Our way of life is not what he's describing. That every single man sits and learns all the time. And the women are trying to make a living. Of course, they try to export this here. and the amount of dysfunctionality with the families, with the children, I think everybody knows what's going on to some degree. And no matter how reasonable or rational the conversation you try to make the conversation, at the end you're always a Russia. It's always a Rishus. Oh, so you hold not to support Tyre? No, I hold to support Tyre. You don't believe that people should be learning? No, it's absurd. I believe that people should be learning. I believe that every one of us should be learning. As a matter of fact, I like to see the guys that couldn't stay in learning, how much they're learning afterwards. You know what's going on now in Eretz Yisrael, because I speak to all these mishlochim? They're trying to start all these things to get people who used to learn, who learned for 10 years after they're married, to try to get them to open a sefer when they're at work, you know, once they come to work. Open a sefer. Look at the parasha. Because these are wounded people. Many of them, not many of them are wounded people. Unhealthy. And if they would have been supporting their families and working and learning strong in the morning and the night, the way Jews did for thousands of years, so then they'd be in a place of success and of simcha. So this non-Jewish way of looking at things has crept in such a way into our lives, and it gives the impression that this is true Judaism. Akedekach, that your question was a good question. Maybe this is just the Baal Shem Tov we're talking about. No, I'm not talking about the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov picked up on this sickness. But it's not just about, and of course then they accused the Baal Shem Tov and the Chassidim of being against Torah. That's the accusation, that the Chassidim are against Limud HaTorah. Adineza, the Svasem, the Baal Tani, everybody's against Limud HaTorah. They're against Limud HaTorah. Why are you saying such a crazy thing? Because it's a very sensitive topic. It's a very delicate issue. And unless they say these strong, strong things that you're against Limud HaTorah, you want to destroy Torah and Eretz Yisrael and so on, they're afraid that they're not going to be able to continue. So you have to be very, very careful. That's why in a quiet way there are people that are doing amazing things to help out with this Indian. And there are more and more training programs to help get the Charedi Shechevra into work and so on, while keeping the yeshivas as strong as possible. There's no question. The yeshivas have to be supported and the kollelim to support as much as possible. The people who are learning have to be taken care of. They're our pride and joy. There's no question about it. It's our pride and joy. But that's not the way of the Jewish people, as a nation. We have to have those Levim, we have to have those Kahanim. But it's not the way of the people. The way of the people, and even in that world of the Beis Medrash, in a healthy way, it has to be heaven and earth. That's where the Torah Baal Shem kicks in a lot. That's where the Torah Baal Shem. And that's what Rav Kook is talking about. So he says, Tov lo li'ish. These are verses from the Tov lo li'ish lihimana mi'isha. It's better for a man to stay completely away from a woman. Achni omer lepnuyim la'almanas tov lehem yisharu kasheh gam anochi. But Eisai Ish, the one that they believe in, their God, he says, but I'm telling you, all of you singles out there and all of you widows, Tov lehem, it's gewaldig. You're better off being single and you're better off being a widow. You hear this? Kasha gam anochi. And that Yeshu says, he never said those things. He never said those things. But they put into his mouth, like I am. In other words, I am a single guy. I'm a single guy, and if your husband dropped dead, you're an almana, you should consider yourself fortunate. And if you never got married, you have even a bigger mazel because you never had that tumah to begin with. Then you could be like me. Hamesis busulosa metiv lasais, vashenina mesi, metiv lasais yoiser. Hitia musheris yoisim tishore pnuya, that your girls will be happier if they remain single, if they remain pure virgins, then they'll be happier. Ubemis rak bishilia baisa shiny. So Rav Avinir writes, the truth is that only at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, Kashumi Yisraelis Haisa Choylu Mududalis, things were getting really bad at the end of the, right before the Churban Bayis Sheni, things were getting very, very bad. This is the time that Christianity began to blossom. Hechela HaNatzus L'cha Kaisis HaMunis Yisrael, that's when Christianity began. With imitating the Jewish people, with imitating HaMunis Yisrael, imitating our Amunah, to what could this be compared? He gives a marshal of a chassid that sees his Rebbe lying in bed and drinking some tea. So the chassid, in his foolishness, he figures that this is something that everybody has to do. So he lies down in bed and he drinks tea. He doesn't know that his Rebbe is not well. So that's why his Rebbe is in bed that day having some tea. So he caught his Rebbe at that time of weakness. So he imitates the Rebbe when he's in his place of weakness. So now every single chassid, all the chassidim are lying in bed all day drinking tea. You understand the marshal? So when did Christianity begin? At the end of before the Churban Bayis Sheni, when we were mamish broken and sick by the Erev HaChorban, and that's their imitation of Yiddishkeit. So the separation between heaven and earth, that whole business that we've just been talking about this entire time, that whole mitzvah is a very, very ridiculous caricature of Yiddishkeit, an imitation, an impersonation of Yiddishkeit, when you're impersonating Yiddishkeit when she was sick in bed. So Christianity has imitated Yiddishkeit, but its imitation is from where did it know Yiddishkeit from? That's where it came from, that place and that time. So its imitation is a very, very silly imitation of the Rebbe in bed drinking tea. It's a great muscle if you think about it. Ve'eni yedeya sh'rabbi nofel ha'mishkov. This is Rav Kook, and he doesn't know that his Rebbe is sick. Dov ez ha'muzba b'perek, Rav Kook, that's not the muscle, it's not Rav Kook, but Rav Kook explained this in Mimar Mahalach Ha'ideyas B'Yisrael. There's one of the most famous and long mamarim of Rav Kook is the Mahalach Ha'ideyas B'Yisrael, where he explains how all of this took place. He goes through the time of the Beis HaMikdash and shows exactly how this split between heaven and earth, how this developed, and how it influenced the world outside. That's when Christianity began. The separation between Caesar and God, it began Erev the Churban by Yesheni. That's the beginning of Christianity. That's when it began. So it's tragic that the whole Mitzias, the whole Mahus of Christianity, is an impersonation of an unhealthy version of Judaism. That's the Sach HaKol. Yeah, sure.
There was, for many hundreds of years, Jews were conducting themselves with sifugim, rolling in the snow.
Yeah.
Was that an imitation of Christianity?
That's where, from there, Yeshu took his cues. From the Isium, from those...
No, I'm talking about more recent times.
More recently what?
Like in before Hasidus.
Yeah.
That was the Derech.
By the Hasidic Ashkenaz, that whole...
Yeah. But
also,
that was considered...
Renouncing the world.
Right.
Tormenting the body.
So was that an imitation of Christianity? Didn't have a...
Or a poor imitation of ourselves. Right. Which is Christianity.
But there were tzaddikim who were doing that, no?
Yeah. And as I said, there were always tzaddikim that engaged in extreme things because, and you know, that's something else. That's something else. Like, you know, I used to tell the joke about how there was this mother that she came to the Rebbe, and she says, Rebbe, I don't know what to do with my son. He goes to the mikveh all the time. He's all the time davening, and all the time, all these things that he's doing, you know, rolling the snow. So the Rebbe says to the boy's mother, so I also do that. But so then the mother says, yeah, but my son really means it. he's sincere. That's the joke. So those that were sincere, there is such a thing that certain tzaddikim aliyim, which Rav Kook talks about, that they do disengage from this world. But it was never suggested that that's a mahalach of the Jewish people. Just yichidei skula. There was certain yichidei skula. So there is a place for that. And the crime of Christianity is not there's no such thing as that. But it's not a healthy, natural lechatchila as a way of life for a people. But there is such a thing. But it was one of the contentions that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh made, and others before the Baal Shem Tov, the Maral, and others made, was that this is not the Tachlis, and it was catching on. It was looked at also as being some sort of an ideal that led to this split in the Jewish people as well, or intensified this split. And does Yiddishkeit really recommend extensive fasting and rolling in the snow and all that stuff? Is that Yiddishkeit in its pure? You're very hard pressed to find in the Tanoim and Amoraim such things, and it developed at that time when I have to be careful. It developed at that time when the church was very, very, very strong. That's when that developed that way, that mahalach. So I don't know that it comes from such pure Jewish sources. But there is such an Indian as Yechidei Skula that are like Malachi Hashem, but that's not a lechatchila. And when it's presented as lechatchila, that's Christianity. When it's presented as, you know, Am Yisrael needs certain tzaddikim that they're apart from the world, this way they can lift up the world, whatever it is, and all that, to say that has a place in Yiddishkeit. There is such a thing, but it's very, very, very rare, very uncommon such a thing to have people like that, not institutionalized, which the church did with the galachim, and that's why it doesn't work. So the tzrachmanis and these galachim, you know, I'm sure they all started off sincere, you know what I mean? They wanted to be a real galachim. And then what are they supposed to do? They, so, they, you know, they probably were celibate for a week or two, and then it didn't work out. So then they you know, they went behind the church and they met the shvester from next door, and now they have all these lawsuits to take care of. You know, there are a billion times more that have not been found out. It's not healthy. It's not normal. The Baruch Hashem didn't create us in such a way. All right, Bez Hashem will continue. Finish them.